This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Tuesday morning, December 2nd. Nice to have you back. After the long holiday weekend, hope it worked well for you from every standpoint, the shopping standpoint, the eating standpoint, the sports standpoint. Luke Mathers is here in for Greg Bach. Greg will be back tomorrow. Were you a Black Friday, Cyber Monday kind of shopper over the weekend, or are you just one of those nice last-minute shoppers, or does your lovely spouse do all that?
My lovely spouse and I's Black Friday tradition, we like to go cut down our Christmas tree on Black Friday. Oh. So that is, she was itching a little this year because it was so late. She's like, this is so late to go do this whole process. But so she was very excited to, we go to the same tree farm the third year in a row now since we've had the house. We found one that we really liked our first year in the new home. And so we've been just going ever since. We cut down our tree. We brought both Remy and Aurora with us because the dogs are welcome. It was a little chaotic, to be fair. Remy, as an older dog, has always kind of just, you know, stood there. He'll sniff through all the different trees and enjoy his time out at the tree farm. Aurora was a little chaotic. She was very excited to see a lot of different people. There were horses, other dogs. It was a whole adventure. But we successfully cut down our tree and put that up over the weekend.
Was it marked then by one of the pups before you cut it down?
We're very careful to make sure. Aurora, not a problem. The female dogs, they don't like to mark as much. It's still a thing for some of them. But Remy does pee a lot of different places at the tree farm, and we try to make sure that he doesn't pee on any of the full-grown ones. It's all the shrubs and the littler trees that we're hoping nobody will cut down for years. So
there's a dimension of Christmas tree shopping you didn't think you'd hear on your radio.
Keep an eye out for yellow snow no matter where you are.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that. 855-75-CIVIC is how to reach us throughout the hour, 855-752-4842. And as Luke reminded us in the last hour, Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, is running for chair of the National Democratic Party, and he will be part of the Earl Ingram Show at 9:06 across many stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you don't get the Earl Ingram Show on your local station, then head over to the Civic Media app, and you can listen there as well. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot taking her birthday off today, so we will, again, keep you updated on weather forecasts throughout the day during commercial breaks on your favorite Civic Media Radio Network station. And hope that she has a very wonderful birthday. Still a greeting just the same from Rob, who's normally in Tigerton, but sadly is on his way to Le Sueur, Minnesota for his cousin Larry's funeral. So he writes in from the road, good morning from Menominee, where it's cloudy, snow, and 17. He says he left Tigerton at 4 a.m., and when we got by the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area, Highway 29 was slippery, and I-94 is slippery between 29 and Menominee. And I can attest to that, having during the news break went to go take out the garbage cans. And, you know, it was snowing a little bit heavier than I thought it might be. The same could be said a couple of days back when they were predicting flurries. And it was flurries plus all day long on Thanksgiving. And then adding to that was a plume from a factory in Menominee. Had just the right combination of moisture and cold air at just the right level that this one smokestack plume created a plume of snow nearly 100 miles long, stretching southward from Menominee. It was a very unique phenomenon, and I'm sure the folks that were in the path of that plume were not nearly as impressed with the unique phenomenon that it was. But again, roads are a little slippery here, so please take care. Alicia writes in asking, where's your tie, Pat? Because I did mention it was National Necktie Day, and I still have a few neckties left from the old TV anchoring days, but boy, wearing a tie has not been something regularly done. If you do it on the radio, chances are somebody thinks you're up to some kind of funny business. We're much more in the plaids and flannels category over here. At 7:11, let's tell you briefly in the world of sports that the Milwaukee Bucks will be playing tomorrow night at Detroit, back in the NBA in-season cup tournament. And the Packers will be playing this Thursday night at Detroit. And you can catch that game on several Civic Media stations. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Badger men's basketball team is hosting Michigan tomorrow night, 8 p.m. at the Kohl Center. You can hear that game on the Civic Media app or Civic Media stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and in Richland Center. The Badger women's volleyball team, ranked 7th in the country, wrapped up the regular season over the weekend with a record of 23-6. They learned last night they are a number 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, and they will host first and second round action starting Thursday when they will play Fairfield in the first round. The Marquette women's basketball team is a 5 seed in the tournament. Their first round match is in Salt Lake City on Thursday against Florida Gulf Coast University. So that gets you a few sports notes here at 7:12 on this Monday morning. Normally on Monday mornings, we also hear from Up North News reporter Selena Heller. Selena is extending her weekend. We tend to hear from our colleague, Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro, on Wednesday mornings, but Elizabeth was kind enough to pinch hit, and so we get her on a Monday today instead to hear about some of the stories that she's working on for us. You can find them over at upnorthnewswi.com and Up North News on social media. Elizabeth, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Dusting off the cobwebs from a long weekend a little bit.
Yeah, well.
It's been great.
Well, that's where we appreciate you pinch hitting. And we'll probably get the same thing in about a half hour or so because Jane Matinere is extending her weekend. So Dom Salvia will be in at 7:50, allegedly. We'll see how the cobwebs go with everybody here. We're all kind of slowly getting back into the swing of things. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
I did. It was a very full weekend. I think I mentioned this to you before the holiday. My family always makes our Christmas dinner the day after Thanksgiving. So we had 2 days of a full house at my parents, and we made over 700 ravioli. So they are assembled, made in the freezer, and ready to go for Christmas Day.
That is, I've never heard of that, but do you know how that tradition started?
Well, it started, my Italian family always had ravioli on Christmas Day, and the tradition of making it the day after Thanksgiving was just a product of me being a freshman in college and home and extra hands to help. So we've been doing that for several years now as college years get further and further away.
How does that work? Does like everybody assemble a full like ravioli, or is one person assigned with each like task?
Everyone's pretty much assigned with a task. I make all of the pasta dough. My sister grinds all of the meat. My mom makes or roasts the meat in advance so no one gets sick. And then all the extra hands that show up assemble.
To assemble and fold it and pinch it just so. And that's where I would imagine if there's any teasing from the family, it's who's got the better technique or the faster technique. And you said you're making dough. Is that your way of confessing that your ravioli making is not on par with some other family members?
Probably.
But now you're an expert dough maker.
I am. happy to send fresh pasta your way.
Oh, I'm not going to say no to that. I mean, one of the things that Sherry is most proud of is her dough making, especially for pizza crusts. So now we make pizza, homemade pizza all the time with her dough. And Mr. Mathers, being the foodie that he is, has been nodding along. So I'm sure whether it's the dough or something, he's already got the wheel spinning on how he could appropriate this.
I'm just hungry for ravioli now.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how you wait. You got to wait from Black Friday all the way to Christmas to eat the ravioli? Do you at least make a couple just to fuel yourself through the process, or is it all just waiting for Christmas Day?
You know, it's all just waiting, and we do make fresh pasta for dinner then at the end of the day with whatever pasta dough is left over.
Oh.
But this year, you know, that shorter window between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's a shorter wait.
Yes, that's true. So, you know, you'll get there quicker. I think about the folks who I know somebody who at some point, it's not necessarily the day after Thanksgiving, but at some point they have like basically an assembly line of Christmas cookies. And a lot of people do the Christmas cookie decorating, and maybe they do, you know, a couple of dozen for the family. And other families like this one I'm thinking of, I mean, they go crazy. Just hundreds and hundreds of cookies that they bake and decorate and everything else. For our family, our family has really become fond of these chocolate-covered peanut butter balls that Sherry's mom used to make, and now Sherry makes. And so, again, she's got her KitchenAid, you know, Mixmaster, whatever it is. That thing is going full bore, and I'm helping roll out. It feels like hundreds of little peanut butter balls, but I think it's only like about 100 or so. But it's a big hit now, because now our daughters are grown and gone, and we go travel to see them, and we bring a tin of chocolate-covered peanut butter balls, and it's our little taste of home. So I imagine that was a treat for you coming home from college or any time to know that there was that ravioli dinner waiting there for you.
Exactly.
Oh, that's fun. That's great. And did you do are you a Black Friday shopper or a big shopper?
Not so much. I tend to start Christmas shopping in end of summer, just to space out the budget. But if I do any shopping over the holiday weekend, it usually is just a good deal on things that I would normally buy myself.
Okay. All right. I am we're spending a little bit more, because this year it seems to be the problem with a family that's in the cult of Apple like we are. It seems like this is the time of year where a couple of different grandkids, their phone or their watch or their AirPods, you know, need to be replaced or upgraded. And even my mom this year, there's AirPods that have the hearing aid feature in them now. And so a little too much is going to Apple this year, but, you know, it's Cyber Monday, so I'll be online taking care of that. I guess that's what you're supposed to do. When we come back, Elizabeth's going to tell us about a story that she's working on the Affordable Care Act and making sure that that care remains affordable. That story is up next on Up North News Radio for this Monday morning on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Dressed in dreams for me, you were what I wished to see. Elizabeth.
All right, here's where we offer apologies to all kinds of folks. One to Elizabeth Montmorel here. This was the only song I could really find that played off Elizabeth. And second to everybody who, like me, is a Frank Sinatra fan, but they can't all be hits. But there was one of them named Elizabeth. So please tell me you haven't heard that one before.
No.
Okay, there you go. Got a brand new one for you there. Elizabeth pinch hitting for Selena today on this Monday morning, talking about some of the stories that she's been working on for Up North News. And look, throughout the campaign, healthcare was an important topic, and especially preserving what we have right now with the Affordable Care Act. which is, of course, by no means certain now with the Trump administration coming in and a Republican-controlled Congress. But that is not, that has not been stopping folks from speaking out. You had a chance to talk to Kenosha's Reverend Jonathan Barker, who has been active previously in things ranging from healthcare to, you know, climate change legislation and things like that. And you caught up with Reverend Barker at an event talking about healthcare. Tell us more about that.
Yes, yeah, so this is just before the election. Reverend Barker shared his story that his healthcare story, and he had shared that when he was training to be a pastor, you know, he couldn't always afford health insurance. You know, those of us that have been poor college students can relate, I'm sure. And he graduated in May of 2012 from the seminary, and he didn't get a call or a job at a church until November of that year. So at that time, the Affordable Care Act had already passed, but it hadn't been implemented. And the church that he received a call to didn't have money to provide health insurance as a part of his contract, but they were able to provide a stipend. So he talked about how he was going around and trying to find health insurance. And everywhere that he went, he was ultimately denied coverage simply because he had a gap of coverage in his health insurance between going to school and the gap coming out of school and having a little bit of a wait and trying to find a job. And he shared what that process and experience was like, without health insurance.
Yeah, let's hear a bit more about his thought on the Affordable Care Act.
Well, the Affordable Care Act has been a tremendous blessing to my family. I am just old enough that I was a young adult before the Affordable Care Act was fully going. And so I struggled to afford health insurance throughout my time training to be a pastor. And sometimes I could afford it and sometimes I couldn't. Well, I finally graduated. I thought, this is great. I'm going to go get my first call. I'm going to go serve at a church. And lo and behold, it was 2012. The economy was in the gutter. And nobody was really that excited to call young pastors to serve at that point. And so I graduated in May, and I had to wait until November for my first call. I got a call to a beautiful church in a beautiful state I didn't know much about. Got called to be the youth and family director at North Cape Lutheran out in Western Racine County, about 20 miles north of here. It's a beautiful community, but they didn't have a ton of money to pay their clergy. And so they said, well, we'll give you a little stipend to buy health insurance through a private insurer. Well, this seemed like a good plan until I started putting in applications for insurance. Well, because I had a gap in coverage in the years before that, I kept getting denied coverage. One insurer after the next denied me coverage because of this gap I had. After many, many applications, I finally gave up, realizing that it wasn't going to happen to get insurance on the private market. So for a whole year, I lived with tremendous anxiety.
And you know, Elizabeth, this story is common. It was heard over and over and over again. And yet, it seems like folks have forgotten and that this is what we might be coming back to. But he does have a second half of the story about finding coverage once the Affordable Care Act kicked in, right?
Right. He was able to, you know, just live with that peace of mind, really, is what it offered him, that he didn't have to get in a car with friends or family and worry that they were going to be in a car accident and he wouldn't be able to get help at the hospital in that event, or hang up his Christmas lights and stand on that ladder with a little bit more peace of mind.
Here's how Reverend Jonathan Barker of Kenosha described it.
It is incredibly anxious to go around the world without, to go about your life without health insurance, right? Because every time I got in a car, especially if somebody else was driving, I was just praying, Lord, please don't let anybody run a red light. Don't let anybody, you know, accidentally merge lanes and not see us. because not only could I end up severely hurt, but my whole financial future could be crippled with staggering medical bills. As I hear about politicians thinking that it would be a good idea to repeal the ACA or parts of the ACA, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart as a pastor, because as a pastor, every week we talk about how Jesus told us we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I believe that each one of our neighbors deserves affordable health insurance. How can we possibly take that away from people?
And that is the question that will be asked, starting January 3rd with the new Congress and a new presidential administration on January 20th. Elizabeth Montemurro, thank you for sharing that story and reminding us that the fight to maintain and defend affordable health care goes on. And, by the way, we're reminded by Roger and Stephen's point, the Statler Brothers had a number one hit titled Elizabeth in early 1984. So apparently I need to open up my musical blinders. We'll see if we can do better by you next time, Elizabeth.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great day. When we come back, we've talked about, where does the new administration and the new Congress go when it comes to protecting affordable health care? Another big question facing this new administration and the new Congress is on the topic of immigration. Because again, they spent an entire year denigrating, dehumanizing, and threatening immigrants. They won with a divisive message, but now we get to ask, what's the plan to address immigration issues without crashing the economy? We're going to talk to the head of a business immigration study group about whether realistic, workable solutions can be designed and passed into law. That's coming up next. You're up north.
When you came to me.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Talk about immigration issues in just a moment here. First, a reminder that you can get our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. We'd love to have you as a subscriber. There's stories in there today about Cyber Monday and gift giving that benefits Wisconsin businesses, so be part of that. Also from Civic Media is a reminder that tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. There are so many nonprofits and charities across the state. Kind of hard to pick one or two, but Civic Media has done some of the work for you. Some of their favorites they've gathered, whether you're looking for a big old statewide organization with maximum impact or something like a good cause that's closer to home, you can learn more about that by heading to the Civic Media website. That is civicmedia.us to learn more about Giving Tuesday and find out more about all the shows and the stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, including the newest member, WHSM in Hayward, Muskie 101, joins the Civic Media family as well. All right, well, as mentioned, we need to talk about immigration, and we need to no longer talk about it from a campaign/political standpoint, but from a policy standpoint, from a solutions standpoint. What are the things that can be done, that should be proposed, that should be debated? And so to talk more about that, we've invited in Connor Gallivan from the American Business Immigration Coalition, which describes itself as a group that is seeking some common sense solutions for immigration reform. Connor Gallivan, good morning. Welcome.
How do you do, Pat? Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure
nice
to be here.
Nice to have you here as well. Can you tell us a bit more about the American Business Immigration Coalition for starters?
Happy to. So the American Business Immigration Coalition, or ABIC for short, is a bipartisan nonprofit organization that makes up about 1,400 business owners, business leaders, and business associations who are organizing to find comprehensive and common sense immigration solutions.
Now, doing that for 1,400 some businesses, obviously there's going to be, much like in politics, diverging opinions on the scope of the problem and the scope of the solutions. So before we take on that challenge, let's talk about the things that may not necessarily be common sense solutions. And the one, of course, that comes immediately to mind is mass deportations of, you know, perhaps 10 million or more people from not just from, let's just the expense of that alone, but then the cost to the economy. That's pretty clear right from the get-go that the American Business Immigration Coalition would like to see solutions that don't revolve around mass deportation. Am I summing that up correctly?
Absolutely.
What would be the problem, as you see it, of trying a mass deportation approach first?
Well, so, I mean, so not even including the just price tag of what mass deportations would be, which would be an estimated $80 billion in just the first year alone, we're looking at impacting almost 17% of the U.S. workforce. You know, I mean, that is something close to 60% of ag workers, almost 80% of dairy workers, and a huge, huge chunk of people working in the restaurant sector, hospitality sector, hospitals, construction, and many, many more industries. I mean, if we actually are to go with the route of mass deportations, we would essentially be crippling our economy and gutting our workforce.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, we've talked about that at length, especially from a Wisconsin agricultural standpoint. But yes, in so many industries, you can't simply just pluck that many people out of the workforce without doing significant damage and very specific damage in certain areas, you know, crops that go unharvested, for example, cows that go unmilked, and places where, again, food isn't getting served. And doing all that mass deportation, it sounds like in and of itself would be inflationary, because you've got supply and demand, and there would be such a fight for the remaining workers out there that would only drive up wages. So, I mean, this is potentially damaging to the economy on multiple fronts, right?
That's absolutely right. I mean, Americans already, showed up at the ballot box and protested rising food costs. There's a very big difference between the kinds of food costs that are going to come from inflation, which we're seeing now, versus scarcity, which is something that we are very likely to see if we do end up deporting the vast majority of our agricultural sector.
That's right. Tony writes in on YouTube, Wisconsin Dells would be empty. That is one classic example of the tourism sector of the economy. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear for listeners who have heard me talk about this over and over again from the standpoint of, opposing things like mass deportation. But let's be clear, as some of your members make clear, there is definitely room for immigration reform. There is definitely room for border security. Among your 1,400 members, maybe I don't use the word problem as much as say challenge, but your members see that there are real problems and challenges to be solved. So despite rhetoric from guys like me, there are things that have to be done, correct?
Exactly. Work needs to happen. I mean, we have a thriving economy. America, one of the strongest economies in the world, or if not the strongest economy in the world, and it's very much the result of immigrant workers who have come here and contributed a whole lot to every facet of our life.
And yet we do have, an immigration system that is broken. We have border security that can be improved. We can do more to stem things like the flow of illicit drugs into the country. And that's not just from a security standpoint, but frankly, a safety standpoint for those folks who do want to come to this country rather than risking their lives. We can reform the process so that they can go through a process that does not necessitate them risking their lives. So as we know, last year, there was a bipartisan deal that was worked on to provide immigration reform and border security. Is it the group's thought that once the Trump administration is sworn in and the new Congress is sworn in, is that a potential starting point, either to come back to that bill or to start with that bill and make modifications off of it? Or is it more that this is a kind of a back to square one approach and say, okay, how would we design a new, as you put it, common sense immigration policy?
Yeah, the Dignity Act is what you're referring to. And for your listeners who don't know, the Dignity Act would essentially grant undocumented Americans legal status, which would include work permits, and that would be implemented alongside E-Verify. We would love to talk to members of Congress about implementing another Dignity Act. Where we stand on it right now is kind of unclear. There's, January 20th, we'll see the new Congress get sworn in, and we'll begin to have a lot of those conversations. But right now, we've seen quite a lot of support coming from this most previous Congress, which will include a lot of folks who got reelected around immigration reform. I mean, one of the things we saw recently was Biden trying to pass the Keeping Families Together Act, which would have granted about 500,000 mixed status families or U.S. citizens who are married to an undocumented spouse the ability to remain in the country as they go through their citizenship process, and really importantly here, allow them to have legal work permits as they're going through that process. You know, so we've seen appetite from Congress already that they want to find common sense solutions. I think at this point, it's just about showing the political courage to do so.
Yeah, that it's going to be very important in all those fields. Alicia writes in that, for example, roof replacement would go much slower for a lack of employees. And it really is, it's about legal work permits, which come through a process, whatever that process is going to be. Now, from just a political analysis standpoint, my feeling right now is that we won't get a solution right away, because you're going to have the real hardliners who want to see mass deportation. They're going to try really hard to have Congress see things their way. Then it's going to run into roadblocks either in Congress or in the courts or maybe in the court of public opinion. And then the talk turns toward, more of a solution. It seems to me that your group has a key role to play in saying to Congress, let's focus on that first. Let's focus not so much on posing far left, far right, but can we get right to the solution-seeking process? Is that where you see your members playing a role?
No, we found support on both sides of the aisle. I mean, Congress can sometimes be a little bit wild, but if you're looking at, say, for example, governors, people who are listening very closely to the needs of their business sectors, we're seeing a lot of alarm bells ringing. I mean, not so long ago, both Governor Holcomb and Governor Cox, both Republicans, recently requested to have or to allow states to be able to sponsor immigration, to be able to sponsor immigrants to help meet some of these labor shortage needs. And then, looking beyond that too, I mean, one of your viewers just talked about roofing. I mean, we're dealing with an economy right now where there are many people who are really eager to become homeowners, but are just not able to find homes to buy. If we were to go ahead with mass deportations, we'd also be gutting a big chunk of our construction industry too. And if we don't have construction workers, we will not have new homes. If we don't have lumber workers and concrete workers, we won't have the materials to build new homes. And, with a big part of Trump's, or President-elect Trump's, desire to try to move manufacturing back to the states, we're going to have to deal with the fact that we currently just do not have the labor force to do that. I mean, if every single American today got hired, we would still have over 2 million open positions.
That is very key. That is a very key figure. If you had full employment, there'd still be 2 million open positions out there. And again, showing the need to have a migrant labor force that is legal, that is vetted, that is safe, has opportunities, and by the way, is also not exploited. It works both ways. We're talking about the businesses that want the workers. There's also, while of course there are bad apples in every bunch, we also know there are businesses out there that want to make sure that the rules of the road are such that I mean, if their competitor gets to exploit migrant workers, but they don't want to work that way, they're at a competitive disadvantage. And so you really have an opportunity here, don't you, for a level playing field in terms of migrant employment, you know, across the board.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, on top of that, we're not just talking about workers here, too. We're talking about entrepreneurs. I mean, right now, there's about 60,000 Wisconsinites that work for companies that are owned by immigrants, you know. And on the labor force front, we've seen broad support from unions like the Teamsters, for example, who are supporters of the Keeping Families Together Act, and many, you know, the United Auto Workers, et cetera. I mean, we don't want to have American workers competing for wages with, or at least in an industry where they have to compete with lower wages. If we are able to give work permits and a legal pathway to apply for these work permits, we'd be able to have a competitive field where both American workers or native born workers would be able to essentially have the same pay or be competitive in the workforce alongside non-native born US citizens.
Yeah, and this is, again, an important point that the American Business Immigration Coalition is bringing up, to be able to provide those kind of top-line statistics in Wisconsin, like you mentioned, about there being nearly 60,000 folks in the state working for companies owned by immigrants. There are about 75,000 undocumented citizens in the state, about 56,000 mixed status families, and that, you know, again, we've mentioned on this program repeatedly, 80 to 85% of farmhands are undocumented. There is nothing here but incentive to look for these common sense solutions and, again, try to set the rhetoric aside. So, I mean, that's why I was glad you kind of approached us as a way of saying we want to get out of the starting blocks early in January when this gets going.
Absolutely. And, you know, we would love to also help sit down with any member of Congress who's willing to speak to us, you know, helping facilitate meetings with Senators Baldwin and Johnson out of Wisconsin, a Democrat and Republican, respectively, you know, and have a conversation with business leaders and business owners and really talk about what their needs are.
That's exactly what we need. Connor Gallivan is the Midwest States Director for the American Business Immigration Coalition. Connor, we really appreciate the introduction. Thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be talking again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. When we come back, Dom Salvio will be talking about what's on his show next week, or this week rather. That's next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is a story about a girl named Lucky.
Early morning, she wakes up. Well, Lucky is definitely not describing the board operator for Up North News Radio as we attempted to connect it with one Dom Salvia, but since we don't have a lot of phone action most of the time, I'm not the least bit surprised that Dom calls in, and it's acting like, you know, the old Lily Tomlin on Laugh-In, going one ringy dingy.
No, see. Pardon me. Poor Luke. Some people like to refer to me as a guinea pig because I get to be the first to try things out around
here.
Well,
you're an Eagle Scout. I like this. You take on a challenge.
And like fellow Eagle Scout Neil Armstrong, I don't see myself as a guinea pig. I see myself as a pioneer to new worlds.
That's it. Yes.
And sometimes, you know, rockets blow up. No, I'm just kidding. I can see Dom. I can see that we're sending sound to Dom. I can see Dom talking through the levels coming through the phone device. But for whatever reason, Pat, there's a little hiccup between getting the audio that Dom's saying into his phone to join us here on
through the interwebs. But Dom is sometimes in places where only a phone signal can get through, where the internet is not allowed. Put it one way.
He's standing on a mountaintop somewhere, folks. That's what Pat's trying to get at right now.
Not at all conspiratorial about this at all. And again, normally you would hear Jane Mattenair here talking about what's coming up on Mattenair on Air 2 hours from now, along with Greg Bach.
And see, but if Greg was here, he would have been able to do the phones because he wouldn't be in his spaceship A2 studio here
right.
in Luke's home away
Park.
From home.
You
He'd
know,
be at Radio Park. But then again, we'd also have Jane then, because if Greg was back, Jane would be back. And it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing as we get back into the swing of things after the long holiday weekend. And
happy December, folks.
including all of our birthday kids who were...
Mr. Zommers should be reporting for work today. So I don't know.
Now, based I would what
say the track
now,
record today is not doing well. So I got to check in with him. I guess I'm gonna have to send one of those "Happy birthday, you're coming to work" texts, right? Because I didn't hear
2 hours of dead air on the Chad Holmes show because all the birthday kids have just decided no, not going to be a part of this.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm sure Chad will be there just fine.
Now I'm gonna have to check WXCO as soon as we get off the air here, just to be certain.
Right. I'm trying to think. What's I'm blanking on his producer's name, but I can just see
Ian.
Yes,
just Ian sitting there, just hanging out, waiting. Oh no, the birthday boy's not here. Yep.
Well, you know what? And we haven't had that much lately. We almost had it last Monday when I was out sick with a bad back, and
that was only last Monday.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Right. Yeah. It was only 7 days ago that. I reached out to you and to Greg and to Kristen at 6 or 5 a.m. and said I can't do it, and you know we eventually got that all cobbled together. But there's nothing like an early morning radio show. It's one thing if it's the show that's at 10 or noon or 2. You've got plenty of time to get your ducks in a row. But 5 a.m. is a different monster altogether. But somehow we managed to pull that off. So anyway, we mentioned that. Earl Ingram is coming up as well, and he has a special guest coming up at 9:05, one Ben Wickler, who is the chair of the state Democratic Party, but now is running for chair of the National Democratic Party. So
you see that news? Do you know where you first saw that news?
Well, Ben made the announcement himself.
Yep.
And then
and what platform?
Media sites picked it up.
What platform did you see it on, Tina? Did you see it on Facebook? Did you see it on the dying
one? I probably
one?
Saw
it
on my new platform home, which would be Blue Sky.
Me too. That's where I saw the breaking news. And it was pretty wild to be like, wow, this app is breaking news now. Blue Sky is pretty all right. It's kind of got the juice.
Yes.
It's got it.
Yep, it does. And Twitter has become like tumbleweeds. A whole bunch of... far right bots just kind of trying to look for somebody to taunt, and it's like, nah, we're tired of that, And it wasn't happening right away because news organizations weren't moving over; they weren't leaving Twitter. But now they've opened up Blue Sky accounts, and they've definitely become the new platform. So
I feel bad for the social media folks that have to like straddle both sides of the fence right now, and they have to post content to X and Blue Sky, so they kind of got double the work. But hopefully. I feel like the juice is strong enough that it's just going to be a lot of posts to Blue Sky soon.
It will be but still, it's such a day. If I've got one thing that's really good that I want to post,
you'll post it everywhere
still?
I'm going
to put it on Blue Sky, then I'm going to put it on Twitter. If it's a news item, then it's got to go on Up North News Twitter.
Yep.
And then it's got to go on Up North News Facebook. I might put it on my personal Facebook page as well. I might have to write up a story for the website or for the newsletter. Might write up a graphic that would go up on Instagram. Maybe it's a video that gets posted on YouTube. Again, both the personal account and the Up North News account. And so sometimes when people are like, well, what do you do all day? We take one story.
I got to post this one. I got to post that one.
And we have to
one.
Post it eight ways to Sunday.
Got to comment over here. Got to cross post it there and collaborate. All the it's chaos right now.
It's
folks.
So much more than when it was. Okay, Pat, take this story and
send
it
to the wires. It's the Telegraph.
I was gonna say just one story for the 6 o'clock newscast. And it was really.
You got to learn Morse code and then send it over the telegraph.
The closest we came was we needed at radio stations, you needed an AM version of the news story and an FM version of the news story. Because AM stations, way back when, kids, had 15-minute newscasts. And FM, had like 1-minute newscasts. So you had to write the long story and the short version of the story. Now it's the face page version and the Instagram,
YouTube, and do a quick TikTok and dance to make it go viral and all the fun things.
Yeah, is all the things, all the platforms. So however you decide to get your news from us at Up North News and on Civic Media, we appreciate it, especially starting here at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mr. Mathers, thank you so much for pinch hitting. have a great day out there.
You too, Pat. Always a pleasure.
Thanks to all of you for being with us. Hans Breiten Moser joins me tomorrow as well. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.